Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let me quickly kick into what I want to teach today. If you have your Bibles, quickly open to the book of Isaiah. I'm teaching from the book of Isaiah chapter 58. That's where I'll begin what I want to say today. Verse 13. It said, if because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways and from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word. He said, then you will delight in the Lord. That is, you will find cause to rejoice in the Lord. That's what he was saying. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, we have been talking about the law of faith. This is the fourth day in that series, the law of faith. And I cannot but explain the reason why we began to speak about this. We started from Mark chapter 11. My emphasis being in verse 24. When Jesus said that whatever you will ask, so when you pray, whatever you ask God for, believe that you have received it, he said it will most certainly be granted you. And what was he saying there? I explained extensively, and let me emphasize it again as an introduction for today's message, that it was not a commandment. He wasn't like instructing them, believe. He was giving them a condition of the Lord. That's a spiritual principle. Don't forget what we said earlier, that Jesus always used every opportunity to teach the principles of the kingdom to his disciples. That is, this time around, he cursed a tree, and the tree died from the root. And when the disciples noticed it, he began to teach them the principles of the kingdom. And that principle is what we call the law of faith. And Jesus was saying that if you can believe, he wasn't commanding them to believe per se. He was explaining that everything that you pray for, when you ask for it, he said when you are praying, anything you ask for, if you can come to the position of having a full persuasion in your heart concerning that thing, then it will most certainly be done to you. That's the point he was trying to make. He wasn't commanding them to believe so that they could get. He was telling them that there is an assignment for your life. There is a principle you must obey. You must bring yourself to a level where you can believe. Are you getting my point? And like we said, Jesus said, if you have faith, that is, faith is something that you have. And let me just, at this point, begin to explain something again, which I've explained in previous times. I wonder whether there's ever anything new I say these days anyway. All right. All right. I explained before that faith is in levels. And while I'm meditating about this in the last few days, and especially very early this morning when I woke up, I realized that, you see, there is an introduction to faith that everybody has, especially if you are a believer. In fact, you cannot be a Christian if you did not have faith. And let me explain this to you. The disciples that Jesus used to rebuke and say, oh, you of little faith, if they had no faith at all, they wouldn't be following him. You must get that point very clear. If they didn't have any faith at all, they had no business following him. It was because they had faith. That's why I always told them about how little their faith was. If they didn't have it at all, they wouldn't be there in the first place. Are you getting my point? That is, they recognized that there was a Messiah that was coming. They recognized that there was a God. And the Bible said that anyone that comes to him must believe that he is and is a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. That is, they knew that God was there. So everybody has this little level of faith toward God that they start with. But while I'm meditating about it, I realize that doesn't get results per se. Actually, it doesn't. No, really, it doesn't. It doesn't. Because that's why Jesus, anytime they did something and they did not get results, he will tell them that it was because of your own belief, because of the littleness of your faith. That is, for you to be able to get great results in life, you need great faith. So Jesus will still speak to the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, by her reason of her great faith in the words of Jesus, took something out of him. Are you getting what I'm saying? He will talk about the centurion. You know, to that woman, he said, great is thy faith, daughter. To the centurion, he said, I have not seen faith as great as this in the whole of Israel. What was he saying? That is, for people to get great results, you will find that great faith is demanded of them. But people who have little faith, they might believe in God and be able to get down to heaven eventually and, you know, obtain some mercies from the hands of the Lord. But to get great results in life, they really can't do it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, the emphasis, therefore, is on increasing in faith. And so what was Jesus saying here? That if you can come to the position of believing that thing. And this is what I want to explain. In fact, there's a story I was telling a few days ago. I don't know, somewhere. And I'm going to use that story just to emphasize this thing again. Because the way most of us have thought about it is as if there is a commandment to believe. And if you fulfill that commandment, all right, you will get something. But it wasn't a commandment. It was explaining a condition. Do you understand my point? That is, a man that has faith, you don't need to command him to believe. It is something that he does because he has it. So what is a commandment actually to the believer, at least the disciple of Jesus Christ, is to walk up in life, walk up in their relationship with God to the point where they will have great faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is a story I want to explain. You know, Kenneth Hagin told a story. It's a story of the life of Kenneth Hagin, which I just want to explain something. Just one short thing I want to bring out from it. He said there was a time he had a vision of the Lord appeared to him in a vision. And he pointed out the fact that he always believed that his wife was going to die early. And the Lord confirmed that that's true. And that she was indeed going to die early. And he prayed for her. He just requested of the Lord. And then the Lord, was it on Monday I was telling the story? It was on Monday. Yes, okay. Now I was thinking about the story again, and there's something he said that which is very important for me to explain this point. He said that after he prayed and the Lord said she wouldn't die. Now, the woman had a goiter, all right? A goiter is a very big one that was growing downwards into her upper chest. So that was choking her actually. And she had been afraid to go for surgery because she knew now. It's not a matter of that she believed. She knew now that if she went for surgery, she wouldn't come out of there alive. And, you know, but by the time her husband had prayed to the Lord and the Lord had confirmed to him that she wouldn't die, he now told her that she would go for the surgery. You know, he now asked her when they were praying about the thing. He now said that, what can she believe for? Now, that's the point I want to bring out. He said, he just asked her simply, what can you believe God for? All right? And she said that, I can believe that I will have the surgery and I will not die. All right? He said, fine. So they now prayed together and that she will heal very quickly and all of that. So she had quite a beautiful recovery. The doctors were impressed with the speed of her recovery. Now, this is the point I'm just bringing out. You see, he asked her a simple question. What can you believe for? That is, there are different... Now, if he was the one, you understand, that he would tell you that, look, what I can believe for is that I will be absolutely well and I will not need this surgery. All right? And from if you see the experience of his life, he got to that level. Are you getting me? From the day he got saved till he got up from his paralyzed bed, it took many months of being trained in the Word of God. And you will see that when we're talking about our studies in Genesis, for those of us who have been around, you know, I explained something that God was training Abraham. All right? Because you see, for you to get great things in this life, the full power of grace, the Bible said there's something that there's a level you must come to, which Abraham, concerning Abraham, was described as a level of full persuasion. He said, being fully persuaded. He got to a point in which he was fully persuaded. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, this is the principle of the kingdom there. That is, if somebody can get to that point, and let me tell you something about faith again. It's not just that you just close your eyes and say, no, I've just made up my mind that this is how it's going to be. No, it's that you have seen by logical, now when I say logical now, you must understand that spiritual things are logical to the one that can receive them. It's a carnal man that cannot receive the things of the spirit. To the man who is spiritual, the things are spiritually discerned, so he has the ability to appraise them. I hope you are getting my point. Like now, you know, I've been teaching, well, I said that I believe very strongly, very, very strongly, that great things, great people are being raised up from the descendants of Ham. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because of the power of the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. So you talk to an average young man that said that, look, in your life, God is going to build things bigger than ExxonMobil, build things on this earth bigger than Microsoft. And you're talking to a Nigerian man in the year 2007. Do you follow what I'm saying? He's going to really wonder. But I thank God because I have gotten to a level that is I, a banky. I don't know what about. I'm not saying for everybody. That I am able to see how God will do it. Are you getting my point? That is, I have come to understand how God gives favors to people and how that favor transforms lives. I have been able to understand that. I have come to understand to a large extent, not the full extent, because I keep growing, but I have come to understand what Solomon meant when he said time and chance happens to all men. To me, time and chance is not just like a man got lucky. I know the meaning of time and chance. I know the real meaning. I know that what time and chance means is that angels have been positioned to engineer some event, and that when the time comes, they can take a man from one place and lead him to another place and tell him, do this for this man, and the man will not have the ability to refuse. Time and chance is not just an accident. Time and chance is when spiritual forces are working to produce physical results. I have come to understand that. Therefore, for me, it is, look, believe me, it is so easy for me now to believe that a man that will be worth $100 billion can be 23 years old in Nigeria today and be as poor as poverty can be. And I'm telling you that that will happen the next 20 years. That is, between now and 20 years, God will build him up till one day he said, what's the value of your company in which you own about 85% of the stock? And tell you the company is valued at $140 million. Do you get my point? Now, what I'm trying to say, that's, I'm bringing out a point here of the process of persuasion. Are you following me? And that's what God did concerning Abraham. God took Abraham step by step so that when the time came, when he asked him to go and sacrifice Isaac, the Bible makes us understand, and a lot of people don't realize that's what he was saying. You know, we think that Abraham must have thought about it and tossed and tossed and tossed and tossed in bed, and he was wondering, how will I tell Sarah, hey, this her heart to be broken, her only child? Can you imagine that she had an old age and I'm going to kill that child now? Anyway, I know that God can raise many more children for me. Abraham never said that. Abraham said that, I know for sure that since the promise of God is that in Isaac will my seed be, therefore God must have a plan of raising him again from the dead. He said, has he done it before? Say yes, he has done it before. If Sarah could give birth at the age of 90, the Bible says that her body was as good as dead. And he raised her up. He said, fine, so good. So that means for him, it was a matter of what? Full persuasion. You are getting the point I'm making. And God is saying, listen, let me explain it again. If you don't get to that level, the real things that God wants to do in your life, he will not be able to do it. I explained something before, it is better to be an unbeliever, all right, materially speaking, physically, that is, when it comes to blessings on the earth, material blessing, than to be a Christian that is not of full faith, than to be a Christian that is not following God fully, because that way you will be shortchanging yourself. Are you getting my point? Because you have already crippled yourself concerning using connections, you have crippled yourself concerning cheating. You have crippled yourself concerning using all sharp practices that people use to make it in life. The only one that's left for you is faith. And that faith does not work except it is full. Do you get my point? God said, what if it's no way? I wish you were cold. That is, we just know you are not here. All right? Or hot. This lukewarmness doesn't beget anything. Therefore, I adjure Christians, if material prosperity is what you are looking for, if you will not follow God fully, don't follow him at all, because you will be absolutely disappointed. That's a fact. You just turn out to be, you know, anyway, thank God for reward in heaven. Are you going to say that after that? But are you, you know, I don't know whether you're following what I'm trying to say. That's just the way it works with God. You must get to the point of full persuasion. But let me lay my emphasis here again. That if you can get to that point, then there is absolutely nothing that you can simply imagine. That is, you will just sit at home and dream a wild daydream. Are you getting me? There is nothing that like that that comes to your heart that will not become manifested on the earth. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is why Paul said that we must therefore labor to enter into his rest. It is a work. It is labor. You know, in life, Satan, oh God, what he tries to do is to distract people. Really, that is what he tries to do. It distracts people by many methods. One of the greatest ones he uses in the lives of young Christian men is temporal small prosperity. That's why a lot of people listening to me, either here or, you know, on electronic medium or somewhere, what will happen to them is that where they have prospered, they're about to become broke in those places. And what I'm saying it is this, so that they will not become worried. All right? They should realize that what God is trying to do is to take away the confidence that they have developed in the flesh. Are you getting my point? Because I did a teaching in the previous times, what I call the danger of prosperity. The problem is that when God prospers people a little, That thing is very dangerous. In fact, I fell into it also, you see, because it was earlier in this year that God woke me up again. When God prospers you a little, it's a danger in life. When the Israelites will prosper a little, what will happen is that their hearts will begin to trust in their prosperity. That's why it was a commandment. Thou shalt remember. It is the, you know the meaning of thou shalt? You know, thou shalt. It's a commandment. You may count 10 commandments, but one of the most important commandments that Moses gave them was in that Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. He said, you shall remember. It is the Lord thy God that gives you the power to get wealth. Now, why will he command somebody to remember? Were it not that it is natural to forget? I've explained before that one of the things that God judges people about is that of self-control. That is to control the thing that is natural. Are you getting my point? That's why, look, all this one they teach in the modern world that say, look, sex is just natural. And I say, listen, we are not arguing as Christians. We're not arguing with you. What we are saying is that what makes you a godly person is that you learn the principle of self-control. Are you getting my point? If stealing is natural to a thief, doesn't mean we should remove the law against stealing. Are you getting? Because that's the argument they use. All right? Why should there be a law against it if it is so natural? Listen, to the rogue, roguery is natural. Are you following what I'm trying to say? But why do we still put a law? Now, what I'm trying to say is that it is self-control that God rewards. That was what Paul explained to Felix. He said there is righteousness and there is self-control, and based upon these two, there is the judgment to come. You are following what I'm trying to say? So that's what God was teaching them. There is a power that you must draw into to exercise that self-control, because the natural thing is that you will forget that it is the Lord thy God that gave thee the power to get wealth. And there's a principle of love I learned long ago, that God never asks anything for himself. God is not in lack. Listen, he's not even in need of praise. Praise me so that my head can swell. Listen, his head does not swell. Please, you must get that one in mind, because sometimes the way we teach the Christianity, we unconsciously tell people some things that are not really true. You say, if you are looking for anything from the hand of God, just try praise, as if you can use praise to bribe him. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Praise does not bribe God. I'm going to bring out something here, that God never, never, never asks for anything, all right, for himself. Therefore, if he tells you, you must be careful that you don't forget. What he was saying is that if you forget, you truncate your blessing there, you cannot go beyond that level. And even the one that you had already, eventually you lose it. Do you get the point I'm making here? So that's a danger in life. And that's why I got into all of this, is that I said that's one thing that Satan tries to use to cripple people. You know, he allows them to prosper a little. Between them and Satan, they agree that, look, this prosperity is good enough. He caps their imagination, their vision. They cannot think of great things anymore. They become satisfied. And that's why I was saying earlier, I actually prophesying that many people listening to this, where they have prospered a little, they're about to fail suddenly. And those who have gone through that experience in previous times, it is so that now this word is coming so as to help them understand what really happened. Because they have begun to trust, all right, in the arm of flesh, because God gave them some flesh in their arms. Are you getting my point? Because God, no, it's true. Because God makes a man prosperous, he now thinks that that's what will beget everything that God wants to do. So if God tries to explain to him, and the man would, and listen, that's the power of giving. No, really, that's very true. You know, it's one of the things, I've taught this one before. Because when he was teaching them about their principle of tithing and offerings and all of that, one of the things he told them was that is how you will fear the Lord thy God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's so important that, in fact, let me just tell you this, as a believer, make sure you give yourself at certain points into being broke. I don't know whether you are getting my point. That is, you know, I told you before, giving is not only outwards. There are times you give outward, occasionally you give inwards also. But whatever it is, regularly, periodically, do it to a level of becoming broke. Do you follow my point? Give money that you can hardly afford. I'm not saying that you can't afford. You get my point? If you are earning 200 naira, don't play 10,000 naira. That's madness. If you want to pledge it, pledge it in your heart. You know what I mean by pledging in your heart? It's true. Don't write it on paper. Because no pastor they hear when, you know, when pastors are taking pledges. Okay. Yeah. I don't know what I mean. I don't have time for all those things. It's the cash I see I use. So what I'm trying to say is that
It's one of the ways by which you keep yourself in check, all right? So that you never trust actually in material things. So I'm explaining here that that's the thing about faith. That if somebody doesn't get to the level of full persuasion, there are great things that God wants to do in the life of that person that will not be able to be manifested. And that's how Satan tries to, you know, allows people to prosper a little, and the great prosperity never comes down. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, so what's my emphasis? Please don't forget, that word is a condition. Believe, it wasn't a commandment there. It was explaining the principle. And Christians must learn that thing. That is, your assignment in life is to walk up your spirits to the point of full persuasion. Do you get what I'm saying? And you know, last week I was explaining something, and I mustn't forget that. That you see, it was God that took Abraham out and told him where to look. Because you see, we're talking about the laws, the principles in faith, in the law of faith. You see, one is that what you can what see. And that one of the things that God used to train Abraham was to start giving him visions. That is, tell him, go out, look to the north, look to the south, the east, the west, as far as your eyes can see. And when Abraham saw that, he now had to begin to walk around. That is, Abraham made it a point to settle in different areas around that area. Walk to this place today, walk to that place tomorrow, walk to this place today. Now, I'm bringing out something here. It was God that showed him where to look to. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, the man didn't have, you see, you have to understand something. Without God, there is no human being. That is, Eli said it like this. He said, it is God that makes us wiser than the birds of the field. It is the wisdom that God gives that actually gives you the ability to see. That's what we're trying to say. Is one that makes us wiser. In the same manner, you will be able to understand that if you look at it from that perspective, that when it came to the Abraham's sin, it was God that directed him to where he would see. Are you following what I'm saying? Without that, he would not have been able to see anything. So I'm going to explain something here. If you are going to have real faith, the full persuasion of faith that begets great results on the earth, it's a walk with God that puts your eyes in the correct direction. You see, those days when we were in school, well, I thank God for those days, but then, of course, as a child, you learn a lot of, you make a lot of mistakes while trying to learn, but the beauty is that you keep on learning, all right? Now, people make it look as if, your faith just, if you're a man of faith, just get anything you want, you know, anytime you want it, any way you like it. But really, you know, it doesn't work like that. I've told you a number of times, Ken Hagin, one of the biggest teachers of faith that we know, you know, people don't read between the lines or look closely at his testimonies. The man will tell you that he believed God for $1,000 and it came. But one thing he forgot, you didn't notice, was said that he needed to believe God for $1,000 because for the last 3 months he's been owing $300 every month. You ask yourself that if that was how the faith was just jumping up every time, how come he didn't use the faith to prevent going into $300 debt in the first place? I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make here. All right, you will see things like that. He will tell you that, look, his car was so worn out and all of that, then he now prayed for a new one and eventually one came. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying this, that there's a principle that is, God trains people. Now, I don't know why it works like that. It is possible that without him getting into those depths, he wouldn't stir up the faith to those heights. Do you follow what I'm trying to say here? That with God, what matters is that he's there with you all the time and is always teaching you in new realms of faith. Do you get me? That is, after the man prospered, and that will be everybody's experience in life, my own experience, and I believe your own experience too. That after you prospered, maybe there was a time that $1,000 was a problem when it came to matter of faith. That's the faith that tackles that $1,000. Are you getting me? Now, it's good. It works. Then one day, for you to remember to launch it, you'll be in danger of owing $1 million. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then that is when you will, you know, settle down again and say, what is going on here? And God will allow that to happen because you have begun to trust in the arm of flesh. Then you will launch that faith again. You know, by experience, God trains you in many things. And then, you know, you begin to overcome problems of $1 million. Then one day you begin to slack. Look, you can't help this. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is why he puts a helper by your side all the time. All right? Because if you didn't need help, you wouldn't need a helper. You are getting what I'm trying to say? That, you see, you know, let me tell you something. You know, recently I made some personal adjustments, you know, in some issues, maybe like prayer and study and all of that. So I told myself that certain hours of this, I'll be doing this and this and that. But I told myself from the beginning, this is a plan, I know it will fail. But as it's failing, I will not drop it. You know, what happens to people is that you said, okay, God, I'm going to be studying 30 minutes early in the morning, I'm praying 1 hour after, and all of that. You do it for 2 weeks, fine. Then the third week, you stop. Fourth week, by the time you get to the fifth week, you get discouraged and you forget it entirely. I told myself from the beginning, even if I default for 1 year, at the end of the 1 year, I'll go back there. Do you understand what I'm going to say? No, these are practical tips about living. Sometimes you want to listen to me. People say that, why, how do you manage that you don't fall asleep when you are praying? I say, it's very simple. I kneel down, and when the sleep starts coming, I fall into it. Then when the sleep finishes, I will start again. There is no magic. No. When I want to listen to messages, I have come to understand, especially if I'm in my house, I put in a tape, a CD. 15 minutes after I've dozed off, I don't worry. Once I know that I'm dozing off, I put the head down, and I sleep it off. Then I rise up again and rewind it. Yeah? You are following what I'm saying. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, you see, faith is not a formula you learn and you don't need God anymore. No. Alright? That's the kind of principle behind the washing of feet. Every day you go out, your feet will gather dust. It needs to be washed. I'm explaining something about faith, that it's a constant walk with God that actually builds it up. It is God that shows you to look in that direction. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, remember we started today, you know, actually I have not referred to that scripture. I was trying to review many things, and many things just kept coming up. But let me just continue. I'm going to get back there in a moment. All right? Where we started from, Isaiah chapter 58. I've not forgotten. Now, I'm just trying to explain that, you see, it's the walk with God actually that helps you to build great faith. So, I said those days, people made it look like, one day you just wake up and you're getting everything by faith. It doesn't work like that. You are trained. Do you follow my point? You keep on getting trained. And what's important, just like I said, is that you don't get discouraged. Like I always say, if I am going to Lagos, I start out on a journey to Lagos because I know Lagos is there. Do you understand my point? I am not driving to Lagos believing that if I drive long enough, God will have mercy and create a city called Lagos because I'm prophesying about Lagos. It is not so. When I get up from my house, I face Lagos. Now, I might get disturbed along the road. They may say there's a flood here, you need to go and pass this other side. They may say the road has failed here, but I keep going because I have a goal. Are you getting my point? Every obstacle on the way is seen as something to surmount. Are you following my point? I'm supposed to overcome it, not turn around because of it. Are you getting me? That's why, you see, really, I believe that a lot of people, they were just misinformed those days. They feel like, look, with faith, you just get anything done. And when they couldn't get anything done, are you getting me? They got discouraged permanently. And that's not what it's supposed to be. It's more of, look, God, if you get to the level of full persuasion, everything will work. Are you getting what I'm saying? Like the disciples, they didn't say that, we'll try casting out demons, they didn't work. They asked the Lord the question, why could we not cast it out? And the Lord explained, that's what it means to be a disciple. You have been trained every time. You try something, doesn't work. You go back and say, what happened here? Then the Lord explains. No, in fact, there's a story I remembered it today. I said, let me share it with you. Just how these things confuse a lot of people. There was a young woman who was engaged, who became engaged to a great man of God. You know what I mean? Amongst the small circles those days, was a big guy. And this is a guy who went his ministry. Maybe like Ken Higgins' stories, you know? You tell that, look, there was a day he was flat broke. He needed something. And he came out of his apartment at night, and the money needed at him was like 3,000 naira. So he began to speak, 3,000 naira come, 3,000 naira come. I speak to 3,000 naira hanging in the sky, come. And he said, do you know that by next morning, as he sat down, 3,000 naira came. Amen, praise God. And those kind of testimonies. And this was somebody who had a lot of, he used to teach, but most of his ministration were punctuated by dramatic spiritual manifestation, right? Words of knowledge and stuff like that. Now, so one day he got engaged, and then after some time, the relationship twacked. You know what I mean? The thing just scattered one day, all right? So I was one day speaking to somebody who knew the lady in question, and this was what happened. Believe me. The young woman actually thought that life was actually going to be a bed of roses. Since this man is a man of faith, he can call anything that be not as though they were, and it was only me. All I'm telling you sounds funny, but it really happened. So as he began to relate and all that, he found out that, look, the guy will lack something, and 2 weeks later, he's still lacking. 6 months later, he's still lacking. Maybe he said, okay, we're going to get a big car. Amen. Praise God. We're going to get a very big ride. All right. Okay. So let us pray. In the name of Jesus, we call a Lamborghini to be. And then 3 years after, now let go. Are you following the point I'm making?
Are you getting my point? That's why people don't understand that. You grow in faith. Are you getting my point? And really, faith is not just to meet with your temporal needs. God is going for something much beyond that. It's to create great things. Don't ever forget that principle of the tree. That Jesus said that the mustard seed, all right, among the smallest of all seeds, but when it has been planted, and that's what you should be going for, is not to be able to get new pairs of shoes, but that God, I will plant something. If I'm a businessman, I will plant something that when it has grown, are you getting me? That it becomes, it's not whether I will wear shoes or drive cars. At that time, those will not be, they'll be too small. I don't know whether you are getting my point. And so Christians must learn to start thinking at that level, all right? But don't forget, don't let me digress too much from the things I'm trying to say. I'm explaining that is as you walk with God, all right, that, yes, you make all these mistakes, but you keep learning. But a time will come, believe me. I told you something before, that the things that Jesus achieved on the earth, he was explaining to people that they are achievable by human beings. That was what he was saying. That I achieved this position of what is called in the natural realm equality with God, because anybody who will walk with God like I did can also achieve it. And at that point, to prove it to them, he went to the tomb of Lazarus. He said, look, watch me. Something's about to happen. He now said, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. Indeed, I know you hear me always. I'm only saying it loud so that they might know, all right? You know, he was trying to explain something to them that I want them to understand the kind of person that I am. And please don't forget this. The same way Jesus spoke to Lazarus, listen, and Lazarus, the man that was bound, came forth. In the same manner, listen to this, there are things that God wants to bring forth on the earth, and it's going to only be brought forth, it will only be brought forth by the words of people that Jesus, by the Spirit of God, has trained in his faith, his disciples. Are you getting my point? That is, one day you will look in your heart and you say, come on, why is Nepal feeling so badly? Therefore, a great power company come forth. That is simple. You bring it up. And how will you come, really? How will those words come? Just tell a friend of yours, say, look, we are going to build a power company. That is the same thing. I don't know whether you get my point. You will just tell somebody that, look, oh boy, come. You just phone your friend. I've been thinking, we are going to build a power company. It's the same thing as saying, Lazarus, come forth. You have declared, we are going to. And that's it. I told you that time and chance is not something that you can't understand. Maybe like Miles Monroe, time and chance are angels. Or let me use my own words, they are groups of angels. They are constellation of angels, all right? They each one having a champion, commanding things to come in the direction of people. Once they hear those words, the Bible says that the angels of God, they hearken to the voice of his word. You are getting the point I'm making. Now, that these people will build up faith to that level, they will say, power company, come forth. And then things will begin to happen. That eventually you look at it, a few years down the line, what they have, that thing they thought in their heart and spoke with their mouth comes forth. It's not shoe. No, shoes will come. You know, at that time, shoe will not be matter, all right? Motor car is not the issue at that point, all right? Is that in all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's what we are going for. You are getting the point I'm making. All right, let's get back to, I don't know why I'm just speaking so much like this. I was trying to review the things that we said before, but I'm happy I read the text I wanted to use to begin today's teaching. Now, I read this, just like I said earlier, to bring out the issue that this faith comes on, is built up as you walk with God. It was as Abraham was walking with God that he became perfect, and then he was able to bring forth from heaven the blessings, all of them that God planned for him. Now, Isaiah chapter 58, that's where we were. Now, he said in verse 13, okay, that was, we read it earlier. Let me just get back there. Now, the interesting thing about this is, looking at it at a glance, you may wonder what this has to do with faith. But as I explain it to you, we see. Now, remember I said that it's God that directs your eyes. It's actually God that trains you in faith. Are you getting my point? That is what you can see. That if God doesn't give you the spirit of vision, you will not see it. Actually, my message today is titled The Visions of God. All right? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, now, anything that, because it's spiritual vision. Now, listen to this. It's spiritual vision. All right? What I mean is that it's what you can see. Now, don't forget something. We said what you can see. All right? I did not actually emphasize what you can imagine. Now, they may overlap, but in truth, the point is more of what you can see. Don't forget what Jesus said.
He said, pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right, but I've explained before that what he was saying is as it is recorded or written in heaven. That's what he was saying. Now, when we're talking about what your eyes can see, now in the natural realm, let's look at it with the natural realm. All things being equal, all right? Assuming that you don't have illusions and you're not hallucinating, you get what I'm saying. If you look and there is nothing there, you won't see anything. Are you getting the point I'm making? In the same manner, on the spiritual level, is the same thing. You cannot see, as a child of God, what God has not written. Oh. No matter how hard you try to sit down and imagine, if God has not created it, you can't see it. Am I confusing you? Now, what I'm bringing out here is this, is the visions of God we are talking about. That the angel will speak to John. He said, come and see things that are about to happen. That is, it is because they are already happening in the spiritual realm that the man could get up and look at them. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, you say that it might be fulfilled that which was written. That is, the things that God had written are the things that are being fulfilled. Therefore, if we are talking about seeing, it's only what God has created spiritually now that you can see. If it is not there, you can't see it. You're looking lost, really. You sure you're not lost? What am I trying to explain here? That, you see, when we're talking about visions, spiritual visions, we are talking about visions of God, therefore, only God can actually show you. Now, the only thing which we should bear in mind is that it is not everybody that will have visions like prophets would describe. And I woke up and I began to see. No. They may not have it like that. But the one that they have is still as accurate and as authentic. Many visions that prophets saw didn't materialize physically. You know that. We've discussed that in previous times. Many. And doesn't make me they are false. Just that there are other circumstances that did not allow the thing to come to be. Alright? In the same manner, there are many visions that God will put in the hearts of people. Now, my emphasis I'm trying to lay today is that issue of walk with God. Alright? As being the way of building our faith. Because, see, let me explain to you. If you can see something, you don't need to be persuaded about it. That is, somebody tried to explain it to you again. No. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, when Elisha sat down and said, why is this boy worrying? It was because he was absolutely sure of what was there. That is, the struggle with faith is that struggle of with vision. Are you getting my point? You're getting what I'm saying? Therefore, if God were to show you something, it is what he's saying in effect is that your heart can rest. Now you have seen it. Actually, the struggle of faith, listen to this, is the one with hearing. Oh, get more my point. That is, where you have problems, where God quarrels over faith, that people not having faith, is concerning what they are being told. The power of the witness. I hope you are getting the point I'm making here. That the struggle with faith, usually is when it comes to what? Hearing, what you have heard. That's where the struggle is. Somebody told you. You heard a report. That's why Isaiah said, who has believed our report? Anybody that sees something, there's no fight over it again. You get what I'm saying? After what happened to Paul. Paul said, I will kill all of them. Just wait. I'm going to kill all of them. On the way, the Lord gave the horse a stud. The horse stumbled. A shine light for Peter. Paul began to have visions. The next question, he said, please, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, there was nothing like, you must believe, what is it? Jesus just said, no problem, get up, go back down here, you see. That is, in an instant, he believed, repented, reconciled, and was baptized, and everything, in one instant, the moment he had a vision of God. Are you getting my point? Listen, it's for one to be worthy of the visions of God, that's actually the issue. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, for God to say, come, look. Listen, if God showed you somewhere and said, look, and you saw something there, the matter of unbelief has died eternally. Do you follow my point? That is, the issue, therefore, is a walk with God to the level where you say, okay, come, follow me to the mountain. We're about to show you some things. You know, Peter, James, and John, those guys, don't worry, they you know, no wahala to believe that this guy is the guy, because when they got there, Moses was gisting, and they saw Elijah. Peter said, we shouldn't go anywhere again. Let's just stay here permanently. I hope you are following what I'm going to say here. That is, what is important, all right, is a walk with God that qualifies you for the visions of God. That's what I'm talking about. It doesn't have to be visions in a trance. Listen, don't forget that thing I said before. There's what the Bible calls equality with God. That is, somebody walking with God so much that if God were to be a human being, that's the best God could do in those circumstances. You don't get what I'm saying. He said, listen, Jesus was a preacher. If Jesus was a carpenter professional, you know, like he finished his carpentry and nothing came upon him and he went into full-scale carpentry, do you know what he would have produced? Are you getting my point? That is, if that anointing with which he was healing the sick, God said, this anointing is for designing buildings, you'll be an architect. The whole world will know that an architect of the spirit has come. You are getting what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about, equality with God in the realm. That is, and that's what God said, go for you, even if you don't get there fully. You move up in realms till you get to a particular, because Jesus said something, you talk about faith. Jesus said, I do nothing on my own. Two things he said, as I hear, so I speak. The Father does the work. He said, I only do what I do, what? See my Father do. So look, listen, with him, believing that the demon will go out was not hard. You are getting the point I'm making. Now, you know, last week I was explaining something. I closed around that point, explaining the issue of who are the people, that, you know, because God, Jesus said like this, you need to buy eye salve. All right? It's not free. You buy it. And we began to explain the thing that you used to buy. It's not natural cash, all right? But it's spiritual currency, something in the realm of the spirit. And that's what I want to explain from this Isaiah chapter 58. It said, if because of the Sabbath, you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure. Please, let me explain what the Sabbath is. It's important to explain this. Let me talk about the natural Sabbath first. The natural Sabbath, that is the physical Sabbath that God taught the children of Israel. This was the way it was. Every 7 days, it's the 6 days you walk, the seventh day you don't do anything. You so much don't do anything that you don't sweep, you don't clean the house. You so much don't do anything that you don't even cook. The idea is that you don't even travel on a Sabbath day. They are what they call a Sabbath day journey. That is the maximum distance you are allowed to cover on a Sabbath day. Even your horses are meant to be at home. Your animals were meant to rest. Nobody walked on a Sabbath day. It was from 6 p.m. on Friday to 6 p.m. on Saturday, every 7 days. Then they had Sabbath years. You farm your land for 6 years. The seventh year, you don't farm it. And God said, this is how I'm going to do it. I'll bless you twice on the sixth year. So you don't even need something on the seventh year. Then they had the seventh and seventh, you know, year. That is the year of Jubilee. When you have observed the Sabbath 7 times, that next to the seventh one becomes the year, or the year after that is a year of Jubilee. That is a year in which not only don't you do anything, all debts are canceled. Let me explain one of the principles there. The land was divided among the 11 tribes, and they scattered the Levites everywhere. Okay, well, 12 tribes, because, Joseph had 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, all right? Okay, so they divided the land amongst all the tribes, and you could sell land. So a man in the land of Judah could go to Ephraim and buy land. No trouble. But seventh, the year of Jubilee, the land goes back to the tribe of Ephraim. So you couldn't rearrange the map that God had drawn. You could only do it for over 49 years. After that, it goes back again. Now, even when you lent people money, maybe your guy said, look, oh boy, my business is doing badly. Let me have some money. You give it to him. You can't collect the money once it crosses the year of Jubilee. You forgive all the debt. Now, there's a reason why all of these things are working like that. If you see the laws of the Old Covenant, a lot of them were signs to explain some spiritual principles. What God was telling them in effect, let me summarize like this, is it is the Lord thy God that giveth the power to get wealth. Observing the Sabbath was recognizing that it was God that was doing it. Are you getting my point? Those who did not observe the Sabbath, they were saying in effect, I'm getting these things by the strength of my might, for the glory of my majesty. They were indeed trusting in the arm of flesh. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, there is a principle of rest, which is actually acknowledging the fact that God is the one that's blessing. Are you following what I'm trying to say here? Now, there is a spiritual side to it. Now, under the new covenant, God did not insist on every 7 days. Because you will see, before the laws of Moses, they were not going every 7 days. Abraham was not going by that. Are you getting my point? But you see the principle of rest all the time. They contend with, for example, when Abraham refused to take the goods of the king of Sodom. All right? That was the principle of Sabbath. He said, lest you say I made Abraham rich. What he was saying, I don't have to work 7 days a week, all right, to get the things that I'm going to get in life. You are getting that point. So, now I want us to understand Sabbath. Now, with God, Sabbath was very important. If you broke the Sabbath of God under Moses, they stoned you to death. And God was explaining a principle here that is in, there remains a Sabbath, Paul explained, for the people of God. That is, there's something else that people will enter into. And that's what we have been talking about. We talked about it in previous times, the power of grace. I was going to say that. Did I even say just now when I started talking? That grace is, that is, observing the Sabbath of God is actually depending on the grace of God to make progress in life. That's what I'm going to say here. So there is a way somebody walks that he's walking in rest. Of course, Sabbath literally means rest, all right? That's what he's talking about, the day of rest. So Paul said it like this, if you read Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4, he said, let us labor to enter into God's rest. And we have explained that what it means. Now, rest, it manifests in different areas of life. For example, he said it's going to rise up early and go to bed late. That's an everyday practice of rest. You know, I was telling Kingsley, recently I found out something. That Jesus said, I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. The night come when no man can walk. What even would they have kerosene lantern or they have generator? Once it is night, the man is not supposed to walk. So, I made up my mind that, you know, kingdom world walk used to keep me up late at night. I said, don't do that anymore. Two things to do at night now, I have found out, is one, sleep, and two, study, that is, eat. Now, not prepare messages, that is the difference. That is, eat the word and pray. That's the only thing Jesus used to do at night. Rise up a great while before dawn to go and what? Pray. And there he will pray all night. So I found out that only two things a man is meant to do at night. Do you understand my point? That is, work is meant to end during the day. Now, that's the principle of Sabbath. Say, look, there are people who don't put their phone off at all. You never know when they will call you. Listen, if it's business phone, have a closing time for it. That, see, any businessman that doesn't call at this time is not planning to call. Thank God for email. Say, if he's calling from abroad, let him send email. I'm asleep. I always say, the business that will not wait till I wake up is not my own. Look, you're not the only one that God wants to bless you. Don't forget. You don't be greedy. Don't grab everything. The one that came while you were sleeping is for the guy who's awake. Simple. So my own will wait till I'm awake. Therefore, the business phone should go off at certain times. And you must not come on before certain times. Those are everyday principles of what? Of rest. All right. Now, let's get back to this text we have been trying to read for a while. It said, if because of the Sabbath, you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it desisting from your own ways. He said, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word. This is how people manifest if they are believing that it is God that is going to bring to pass the things that I believe in on this earth. Are you getting my point? The great tree that we have described earlier, that's going to grow out of the seed that they are sowing. Don't ever forget this. All Paul can do is plant. All Apollos can do is what? Water. As for the increase, it is only God that gives it. I said something when we were talking about Genesis chapter 1, when we began to study in the book of Genesis. That when God observed the Sabbath, it was not because he was tired. Can you remember that? What was he saying? The Bible says on the seventh day, God rested from his works. It wasn't like he went to rest because he was tired. That is, concerning creation, I have done all I am supposed to do. All right? Because he ended by blessing it. After putting that word of blessing, what he was saying, that everything that needs to be done on this earth, everything that needs to be created has been created. Any creation that will come after it will come out of something that already exists. Do you get my point? Please, that radio series we did, cooperating with the seasons of life's adventure. If you listen to it then, I think you must take it as a personal companion. Because we talked about the first stage of sitting down, right? In which you sit down and count. It's those things that God gives you as wisdom for your salvation at that time that you plant, all right? After which you step into rest. Are you getting my point? Listen, for everything you want to do in life, I always say something when you want to, when I'm discussing with my wife. And let us assume you want to sell recharge cards, all right? You ask yourself that if you want to be distinguished, because there's the masses way of selling recharge cards, you know, masses. Just enter the road. What happens is that you share what everybody is sharing with them. And then somebody tells me, recharge card business makes a lot of money. I'm telling my wife, listen, it's not everything that requires your participation. There is money in it, I know. But is there anything you want to add to it that they are not already giving it out there? She said nothing. I said, so don't let them confuse you. I know somebody made a millionaire in Easter period. That's the person's problem. It's not everything that requires your participation. Are you getting my point? Now, there's a reason why I'm explaining this. So I explained then that anything you want to do in life, maybe you're a businessman or something, there is something you want to do. All right? If you are going to be outstanding, when you are starting, there must be something you are doing differently that other people are not doing. Listen, what I said, my wife and I will discuss that. I'll tell her, listen, if you are selling that recharge as an example, yeah, that's given as an example. Then why should somebody pass all the boys on the road and come to buy from you? You must ask that question. That will be the thing that you are planning to use to overcome. And now, that only, remember we're talking about the visions of God. It's after sitting down and count that God gives you a wisdom for your salvation. And listen, most people will say, it doesn't work like that. And once they start telling you like that, you should become more stubborn in your heart if you got that thing during the time of prayer and meditation. Because if it was popular and it all worked, it wouldn't make you outstanding. Do you get the point I'm making? Let me give an example personally. When I was starting out the ministry and launching our website, I said our books would be up there for free for people to read. Hey, Sunday somebody's going to print your books. I said, let them go ahead and print it. Now, this is the interesting part. I thought I was even doing something innovative. A few months later, or a few years later, I found out that there was a website called freebooksfordoctors.com. But my own is that, what is the goal in what I am doing? That principle I'm using is making that goal get achieved faster. Do you get the point I'm making here? Now, as you are not a minister, so you are not there to write books to hang for free for people, all right? But whatever it is you are doing, there must be, look, if you enter into a field and you are copying the way everybody else is doing it, you only beget Ishmael, you never beget Isaac. 2 Mondays ago, I explained the principle here, that when Hagar was given by Sarai to her husband to bear him a son, all right, it was not a new invention. It was a common practice there. What happened was that they had a rule in their society at that time that if a woman doesn't bear for her husband, she will take her maid and give to her husband. And the maid will bear children for her. So what brought forth Ishmael was that Sarai took the counsel of the population around. God said, no, I won't accept that. That child would not be outstanding. Listen, it took Abraham to pray to preserve the life of Ishmael. I'm not going to go over that. We discussed that one about two Mondays ago and last Monday. When he said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee, he understood the principle that when the promise of God will become manifested, that one has to die. No, it's true. That was why he prayed and God said, as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. It was a prayer of Abraham that sustained the weak life that was brought forth because a man of promise decided to use a popular method to try and get results. You are getting the point I'm making. Listen, that's the way it works. So, anything you want to do, ask yourself. Because if it's going to make you outstanding, you should know that not everybody will be doing it before then. And anything you want to do in life, before you step in, don't join the crowd. You must ask yourself, what do I want to do that they are not doing yet? I read the story of John D. Rockefeller then. He was a mean businessman. I mean, the guy was a bastard of a businessman. You know what I'm saying? That is, he used to go to church with bodyguards. That was how much people hated him. But that's not the issue. The issue is that the man in the petroleum business, he said everything was going there was so much disorder. So the man came out to put order into the business. While trying to do that, he was stepping, of course, naturally, was stepping on toes. You know, he would come to maybe get to a particular company, say, you guys are not doing very well. They say, this is how we like it. All right. He will buy enough shares to enter the board. Then start, look, by the time you know, those of you that you have lost the company, he has pocketed it, he has paid money. People hated him for that reason. But what I want to bring out is that the guy set out to put an order into it. At the end of the day, became the richest man in the business. Now, he didn't really start out purely to become rich. Just said, look, they said then, at least fuel that came out of standard, all they were using was kerosene. Petrol was an irritating byproduct because they didn't have cars then. Kerosene was all they needed to make light at night. They said that was what made the day longer, all right? Now, then, kerosene explosion also was common. Rockefeller's company was one of those that put standard in. So you are sure that if I bought a standard oil kerosene, it wouldn't explode. Now, you are getting what I'm going to say here. That is, there must be something you want to put inside. You can't just go and do what everybody else is doing. When you do that, you might succeed a bit, but all you beget is what? Ishmael. That is all. The Isaac that will carry the promise of God, that will bless all the generations of the earth, it doesn't come by doing what everybody else is doing. So you know, this in this industry, look, that's why, you know, I like one thing, what's his name? I think this man, Donald Trump, said that he never believes in committees, that if people gather to give him advice, he doesn't listen. Pastor, but you said he has only gone for counseling once in his life. And in that counsel session, the person told him, you don't know how to preach. That they told him that he was not called to ministry. He said, since then, so he doesn't go for counseling. So when people come to him for counseling, he doesn't even understand what they're looking for. Are you following me? What I'm making? Bishop Oedipo said something once, that once he went to see a man when he started ministry, the man told him that, you know, you are not called. The man, he said, out of anger, he left the man's house, closed the door, and said, I am called, and he drove away. Are you getting the point I'm making? You want to do something, don't everybody will agree. And the fact that that's not the normal thing in that field before you came does not mean what you are doing is not going to bring forth results. Interestingly enough, it will be slow initially. And so everybody will tell you that we told you. That is why you don't just take such steps. Because I always say, a crazy man and a man of faith, they look alike. No, it's true. So you must be sure that you are not a crazy man, but you are a man of faith. The only way you will know is that before you came out with that idea, you were in the presence of God. Are you getting my point? That is, you were in there praying and meditating. And most important, well, this is the way I see it. It normally be cooked up over a period of time. Not just wake up in the morning, boom, you suddenly have an idea. No. You've been observing the field. You've been observing. God has been, because this is how the Spirit of God works. He's been showing you, look at that. Things are not supposed to be like this. Look at that. Things are not supposed to be like this. They say, it's true. It's true. But you don't have the opportunity yet. When you have learned all the lessons, then God creates the opportunity. Then woe betide you if you drop all the ideas he gave you that made him create the opportunities to start using the one everybody has said is correct. Are you getting my point? Listen, this is how God promotes his children. He first gives you instructions. When you have learned, he creates opportunities for you to carry it out. That is, Saul, I have appointed you king. Please go and kill Agag for me. Do you get my point? He now gives you opportunity to kill Agag. If your kingdom is going to endure, oh boy, Agag must die. Agag must go. Are you getting my point? All the Amalekites must go. You are getting the principle. If you don't do it, you will most certainly lose that throne. Because you start competing with people on their own turf. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You start using their own methods to compete with them. And because there's no power of grace with you anymore. Anytime I see people starting things that people were doing beforehand, and they're trying to explain to me that this is how they do it. Maybe you want to do home movies. They say home movies don't sell. I say, in my mind, say, God, all you are going to beget is Ishmael. Listen, you must do things. He said, not loving their lives unto death. They said, this one won't work. He said, but I have to challenge this status quo. Do you get what I'm going to say here? He said, it might not. Let me die in the process. You get my point? Let me lose money. And look, I said, you can't obey God until you come to that point in which you don't care, even if you lost. No, you really can't obey God. No, I know what I'm saying. I said, this is how they do it. If that's how they are doing it, you should know that broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many that travel on it. The one that leads to life says very narrow, and few are they that find it. So being amongst the few, it has is not new. It's a passport to progress. Now, what was I saying? So you see, now we read in verse 13. I was trying to bring out something here. So that wisdom for salvation, which we talked about then, it said, if because of the Sabbath, you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, that is, in pursuing the thing that God wants to do through you, you are careful not to do it the way everybody does it or the way you like to do it. You are getting what I'm going to say here. It said, you desist from your own way, that's very lower down, and from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word. He said, then you will take the light. What he was saying, that you will discover the light in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. Now, why I wanted to come down here is the fact that God said something, that I will make you ride on the heights. Now, people who want to see far, they go up to the heights. When Satan wanted to show Jesus Christ vision, what did he do? He took him to the top of a mountain, and you know, that is how it is. That what God was saying here is this. To feed you with the heritage of Jacob, to give you great things in life, I make you ride, are you getting my point? On the heights. I'm bringing out something here, that to help you see far, because we said something at the beginning, it is not everything that exists that people can see. The ability to see is a gift of God. Are you getting my point? And we are saying here that what qualifies you for riding on those heights, God is saying that one, your trust, you must believe in the Sabbath of God. What does that mean? That is, I'm saying that it is not by my labor that I'm going to get somewhere. Do you follow the point I'm making? Listen, these things are practical. It shows how you respond to... Look, everything that happens to you in life is a test. Listen, every good thing that happens to you in life is what? Every bad thing is what? A test. What matters in each one is how you respond to the situation. Are you getting my point? You invest money in the business and the thing vanishes. There's a way you can respond that God says you are not ready. There's another way you respond and say, man, God said this guy is good. Listen, there's really no money that's lost in life. It's buying you something. Do you understand my point? If it doesn't multiply itself, his cash, he has bought you a lesson. Do you get what I'm going to say? No, really. Really. You know, even physics, they say it. The energy cannot be destroyed. It can only be converted from one form to another. No, that's a fact. That's just a fact. I'm explaining that everything that happens in life is what? A test. So God is explaining, why I brought that issue up is this. So if somebody who believes in the Sabbath of God, how you will know, one of the ways is how he responds to every situation of life, every challenge. I've had a situation before in which people are kind of maybe trusted, you know. We're trying to, you know, go behind to deny me of something and give to another person. And the person involved was feeling very, you know, like, you know, when I found out, when you see me, I went and called another of our friends. I said, go and tell that my friend that there's no need to feel bad. That whatever is mine cannot be taken away from me. That for that reason, I am not angry with anybody. I said, listen, I may have been disappointed in your personality. Are you getting my point? But that I am angry is out of the question. I started feeling bad for the fellow. Say, oh God, why is this guy feeling like this? If you knew who it was that you were dealing with, if you knew very well, you'd have come boldly and say, oh boy, now wow, now only me and you, and this is the only one now. Waiting, we'll go do. And as God lives, I will have said, if you like it, take it. If you don't, I will have it. Simple. And I'm, oh God. You know why? Because I know that there is nothing that is mine that can go somewhere else. If it went somewhere, you know, God helped me to understand that. I'm not the only blessed man on the earth. Do you follow my point? You say, man, that deal. Oh God. If I had gotten it, man, 10 million, I would have been in my hand now. look at the guy who got the guy just a shine. Say, that means it was his turn to be blessed. Simple. You know what I mean? Why do you go and eat what is not your own? It's called stealing. Do you get my point? If it's not your blessing, don't cry over it. I have seen, just like one position closed because it wasn't mine, at the same time, another one opened because that was mine. And in that one, I got immensely blessed. I can't give you details because you know, these messages go very far. And so, all right? I've had another situation in which a man schemed, knowing something was coming. The day it arrived, they did not even remember to offer everybody. It was given to me by phone call. So, boy, please, something is up. Come. I want you to fill that post. When I finished filling it, he was saying, look, this did not go the proper way. How did that guy get it? Because he had been scheming and waiting. I did not even know. Incidentally, the guy who wanted to tell me about it, he was calling and calling. My phone was off because I traveled. So as soon as I entered into town, I put my phone back on. And the text dropped. And he said, call me. It's urgent. When other people found out later, somebody was now grown because he had been scheming and fighting. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to say. That is everything in life, that's how I respond to it. Do you follow the point I'm making? I always tell every young man, every young woman will marry you. There's no fighting it. I like to tell them all the time. So you thought it was God that spoke to you that, thee thou thine that my wife? And the guy said, I don't think so. Ah! I said, okay, she will see. She won't see anything. She will not see anything. She will just walk out, marry somebody else. The wedding go, look. And he said, okay, you will see. 10 months later, she go born to set of twins. Lucy, my friend, it's not everybody that can be your wife. Are you getting my point? It takes away the first to establish the second. You must understand that principle. It's very important. That's somebody who understands the principle of what? Sabbath. God said, if you understand this, and for that reason, you watch how you talk. Are you getting my point? You stop following your own ways. Stop following your own ideas. He said, that is when I make you ride on the heights of the earth. You know what that means? Suddenly you start seeing what other people are not seeing. Simple, that's what it means. You know, this morning, I picked up this book, Rich Dad Poor Dad. I just saw it somewhere. But I now picked it, read about 2 pages. And I remember the story there now, you know, of course, where the man was talking about how his rich dad, that is his friend's father, was teaching them how in their life, as 9-year-old kids, he wanted them to understand that a man must never work for money. That money must work for you. So he taught the young boys, by many ways, to work not thinking about money. Do you get my point? So this is how he first started. He started by paying them very poorly. Extremely poorly. Actually, they work for 3 hours on Saturdays and they give them 10 cents an hour. So he was waiting for them to get tired and come and complete. Two of them, this chap, Robert Kiyosaki, and his friend, the man's son. All right? So the 4th week, he got tired and he went to tell his friend, I'm tired. This is your father. He's actually what they call him. A very wicked man. He said, the boy just said, okay, my father said that when you get to this point, I should bring you to see him. The man was waiting for it. So he tried to educate him that, you see, what have you come to ask for? A raise. If you don't give me a raise, I'm going to quit. He said, all these people that will be poor their lives, that's what they'll keep asking me for every time. A raise. If you don't give them a raise, they will quit. He said, more money will never solve your problem. It took the young boy a while for that to sink in. What's the next level? The next level, now you go back to work. This time I'm not paying you a dime. The man looked like, the little boy. This man, there must really be something wrong with him. He went back to work. Then he said one day, the old man came, called the two of them, that is his own natural son, and this boy, who's now Robert Kiyosaki, who calls him his rich dad. It's all right. I want to give you guys a raise. 25 cents an hour. Is that okay? They looked at each other, man, that's good. The guy kept on increasing it until he got to $1 an hour. The guy felt like, why, my God, we'll be the richest that most of us don't even end up. No, they were feeling so happy. But if that's not enough, they didn't say anything. He kept on increasing. At the point in time, they realized that, no, this is getting ridiculous. Now, he was not saying something. They wanted to see whether they will let their emotions, all right, dictate how they rush for money. And I was very happy they were able to hold it down. At the end, he didn't give them anything. They went back to work. But he said something. One day, he noticed what he used to spend all his money on was buy comics. Then one day, as he was walking, he noticed that the woman in the shop was cutting the cover of some comics. And he called it, long story short, this has come out weekly. The one that's not sold last week is thrown away. So they removed the cover to prove to the publisher that it was not sold. All right? The boy said, so I can collect the one that you're about to throw away. He said, as long as you promise not to sell it. The boy said, no problem. Gathered all the comics and started a comic library where you paid money to come and read. As a 9-year-old boy. He started earning $10 every Saturday, where he was earning nothing. Initially, he started him on 30 cents. Now, this is the point. He said, because of those lessons, he was able to see. That's what I'm trying to say. He saw opportunities that nobody else saw. If they had been paying him, he would not have seen those opportunities. Now, are you getting the point I'm making? You're following the point? That is ability to what? See. He said, I will make you ride on the heights. And once you have seen something, you know, we said that faith is no longer a problem. Because the ultimate thing is to have the perception of it. Because once you have a full perception, all right, then you know. That is why when you want to sit down, you don't check the chair. You just dress, style, how now? You're not looking and you sit. You know it's there. But if you couldn't see and say, okay, move back, all right, move to the right. You know, you keep on, you know, maybe somebody is, you are checking the car behind. You say, keep moving. You can't see it, all right? You are using the voice of the person trying to help you park properly. You know, so when he says, keep moving back, you don't drive very fast. You keep on going once, you know. Now, so once you can see, actually, God knows that you've had it made. But he said, this is how I get people to see. He said that they walk with me. I'm going to summarize everything I'm saying in that area. Because next time I want to go into the next thing about how God changed the name of Abraham, talking about these principles of the law of faith. Now, this is a summary of it. What qualifies you to see, therefore? It said, if your heart is united with God and you're walking in his Sabbath. But there's a principle I want to bring out here. It said, three things abide: faith, hope, and what? Love. He said, the greatest of these, he said, is love. Now, there are two definitions for love. Love, as every spiritual principle or spiritual entity, has, you define it based on a number of parameters. Number one, the two parties involved and the direction in which you are considering it. That is, love of a man for another man is not the same thing as love of a man for God. It's defined by different things. Are you getting my point? The love of a man for God is defined by obedience. He said, if a man loves me, he will keep my commandments. Are you getting my point? The love of God for man is defined by blessing. He said, God loved the alien amongst you in that he gave him food and raiment. He said, for God so loved that he what? He gave. You don't give God as a sign of love. You obey God as a sign of love. Do you get my point? That's why you can't give God a gift he's not expecting. Oh God, I don't know that you get my point. You can't give God a gift he's not expecting. God does not love surprises. In fact, he despises surprises. Say, I'm going to surprise God today. It is you that will be surprised at the end of the day. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because for God, love is defined by what? Obedience. Now, there's the reason why I'm bringing this one out. Because while meditating over the last few days about this, I realized something. That I said before, faith. When God called Abraham, he was not a solid man of faith. You know, faith strong in his heart. No. He had two things. That was all. One, love for God. Two, love for people. Period. Upon that foundation, God began to build faith in his heart. Have I lost you? I said before that faith is in levels. That depth of full persuasion, you can't get there if God doesn't personally teach you. You can't. The only one you start out with is the general lowest level faith. He that comes to God must believe that he is. The one that made Peter, James, and John follow Jesus Christ, yet in the midst of the storm, they were afraid. You get what I'm saying? If they didn't have any faith, they wouldn't be following him. But in the midst of the storm, even he said, oh, ye of little faith. That is, you have faith that is so small, all he can do is follow. He doesn't know anything. Just follow. But he said, if you follow, all right, that same faith will be built to a level that you will see a crippled man by the gate and saying, okay, I don't have any money. But in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. That was the same faith that was afraid a while ago. It was God that built it up by himself. Are you getting the point I'm making? So we're back to square one again, the matter of law. He said, upon these two, all the law and the prophets, they are built. All right? He said, which one is the greatest of the commandments? He said, shall love thy Lord, the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. And all that. He said, but it's the second one that's not, as it's not, which is not less great. He says, one on the same level, you shall love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, he said, upon these two commandments rests all the law and the prophets. I'm applying it like this. Upon those two principles of life also rests the power of God to build faith in your heart. Now listen to this again. There is nobody that's naturally of faith. I said this one to you before. Listen. The widow of Zarephath. All right? You know, we have made it look like the woman was a woman of faith. No. The woman was a woman that was used to giving bread and water to hungry people. It was based on her bread and water that she had been giving out to hungry people that God sent Elijah. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, maybe God warned her ahead. I don't know. What am I saying? The ability to believe the word of that prophet and do something that was so unusual was built in her by God based upon her previous behavior. You are following what I'm saying? What am I trying to explain here? We have been teaching so much about like love for Jerusalem. There are so many things I'm putting together tonight. We have been teaching so much about love for Jerusalem. You know, like it said, great peace have they that love thee. As an example, I talk about this power company. If you are a type that grumbles about the nation, as an example, and thinks the solution is to run to Ivory Coast, you will never see visions that build such things. What I'm saying, is it making sense? I hope I finally came out with it. All right, my time is up, so I'm kind of rushing. That is, it's obedience to God and love for humanity. Do you get my point? Upon that is built the ability of God to impart faith into your heart. Are you getting my point? That is, God looks and says, what would this man do if I were to bless him greatly? Will he build bigger bands? He said, yes, he will. He said, then forget it. And listen, there are spiritual... Look, the laws of life are very interesting. Why did God say, he put two angels, two cherubims, to guard the gate, all right, to the Garden of Eden, after Adam ate the fruit? Why? He said, so that he will not now go and eat the tree of life and live forever. That it was possible for Adam to go for that one too. What am I trying to say? If a woman grabs a spiritual law, even if God is not happy with it, he will see the results. For that reason, God told Isaiah, go and make them blind. He said, lest they see, and then they come back, and they are forced to heal them. He said, well, I don't want to heal them. Therefore, render their eyes blind. Make their ears dull. So that they will hear, they won't understand, they will see, they will not perceive. Do you get the point I'm making here? That is what happens to people, is that when they have a wrong attitude in their heart, God consciously makes sure that they are blind, they can't see some things. Because if they indeed could see it, it will still come to pass in their lives. Your attitude with God is very important. God said, look, if I were to bless this man, what would you do with the blessing? If he has the wrong attitude, God will not enable him to come to the level of faith with which he can collect those blessings. In fact, the day he will have accidentally gone for a teaching where they will have taught it to him, the God said, no, he mustn't get there. They will quickly offer him a contract. He will be diverted to go and make quick money. Are you getting my point? Listen. Oh God, it's now I understand. You can't just say, I want to have great faith. It doesn't work like that. It starts with two things, two basic things. Love for God, which is defined by loving his Sabbath. Not speaking your own word, he said. That is, you must not speak your own word. That's obedience to God. You must not go after your own ways. He said, if you have that, then I now personally begin to help you to see things. Listen, I've learned not to argue with people.